On Robin Hood Radio, it is time once again for Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. Main Street Magazine, of course, can be found throughout our tri-state region, distributed free throughout the region. Also at mainstreetmag.com. That's mainstreetmag.com. It truly is a magazine that covers the whole tri-state region. And their current issue is now out for the month of March 2020. It is loaded with lots of great stories about lots of things and people that are from our tri-state region, our immediate region. And of course, a couple of times a month, we do get together with Thorin Christendaughter and we talk about what's in Main Street Magazine. And we'll start off today with Thorin talking about a story that you're listening to somebody who is afraid of bees and allergic to bees, but aware how important bees are. And the top story we'll talk about on Main Street Magazine, in both the magazine and online, is a hive mentality, talking about the threat to bees and the threat to humanity with the threat that is happening to bees.
Griffin, you know, and he sat down a couple of weeks back and talked bees and formulated into this great little story about Gino and just, you know, his true passion, how he got into it, and about the bees in general and how important they are to the entire earth and, you know, just for all of us, for food, for the pollination and what have you.
You know, I think that's, and I'm always surprised at the amount of people who keep bees, and then when they first start, how quickly, once they start, how quickly their hives grow, and they really wind up producing a lot of honey. And we're very lucky around here. We have so many different people that have bee colonies and give us honey. It really is amazing. It's almost like farming with cows used to be back 20-25 years ago.
Yeah, this is you'll notice the hives, you know, some people's backyards, there are larger ones, you know, and Gino works with a couple of different farms here locally and works with them and their bees, or, you know, works with his bees there to help, you know, pollinate the different products that they're, or, you know, plants that they're trying to grow. And so it's not about the honey just, you know, anymore, like it used to be. You know, you think bees, you think honey, but they do so many different things that are important in so many different farming aspects. So it's been something that I've kind of been studying a little bit here and there through the last couple of years. And, you know, I don't know how many of your listeners have noticed in the last 6 months or so, but there may have been some headlines saying, you know, bees are going extinct and, you know, the need for us to have bees and we can't, you know, exist here without them. And these are scary thoughts. And so, you know, to learn about individuals like Gino who are making a difference in right here. I mean, he lives in Millerton. He has, you know, bees in his backyard and he makes all kinds of products from bee, you know, things that, you know, the bees make. And some of them are honey related or some are direct honey. But, you know, the work he does with all these local individuals as well as farms, and it's just amazing. And, you know, I hope that there are more individuals out there like him who are contributing like this.
That is, once again, we're talking about Main Street Magazine. The story is a hive mentality. You can find it on the web or in the magazine itself. And then before we got on the air with Dora, we were talking about what stories we might cover. And the story called Smoke Down Farm. And this is a story that comes to me wham out of nowhere.
Mary is great at coming at me with, like, hey, I have this idea. So she told me about this in December or January about this farm, and I was like, okay, never heard of it, you know, hops, okay. So when I got this, I too was like, wow, what a great story, what a great family-run business in a niche market, with some really interesting folks who are behind this. And you know, this is one of the things that I truly love, if I'm being, you know, selfish here for a moment, but I love to see things like this. And you know, you think farming is such a broad topic, but you get into the niche of it, and you've got such, you know, specific types of, you know, in this case, farming that these folks are doing. And it's all about hops, but, you know, it ties into so many other businesses here locally. And, you know, I love that we're able to, you know, talk about all these local folks who are doing great things.
Well, what's interesting about this is, I'll quote right out of your story, and this is what amazes me. After 8 years in Botswana and Nigeria, which James worked with the Center for Disease Control in the areas of HIV and TB, they moved back to the U.S. And who would have thunk that a background like that would wind up with hops in Sharon, Connecticut?
You know, you just never know who lives in the hills here, as I always say, you know, and how people, you know, their interests may, you know, lead them this direction or that direction. But that's, I think, the beauty of it. And this is what I love about being able to, you know, experience and get to know the folks who are here and what they do.
And you know, when I read through the story, I hear about hops all the time, and you hear about, of course, local breweries, and you hear about how hops is definitely a coming harvest for farms that were farms. But I didn't realize that their harvest period, this is the great thing about your articles, run from mid-August through mid-September. That's it. Everything right there.
That's it. Yep. So it's, you know, there's definitely an off season there, but you know, as with most farms, they're busy in the off season too, but it gives you a glimpse of what hop farming is.
And it goes along with the glimpse into farming in general, that people go into farming in general, whether it's hops, whether it's corn, whatever it is, they've got a window of time. They have to secure the money to plant. They have to plant. They have to hope the weather goes right, and then they harvest. It really is a huge roll of the dice, and you admire the people that end up getting into this.
You really do. And we've had other stories in the past about, you know, other types of farming and whatnot. And I forget what it was. We had a story a couple of years back on a farm, and they had a bad season. We had bad weather that season, and their whole, the whole product that they created, they lost a whole season out of it. So it's such a risky business at the same time, but it's such a huge investment for these farmers. You know, they have to have the land, first of all, and as you know, around here, land is not cheap. And then they have to have the right land, then they have to take care of it. And then they need to, you know, to either buy seeds or plants to grow, and then the machinery. And then they have, like, you know, for the hops, they have what, a month? And you know, everything, the weather, et cetera, that plays into it. So you got to admire these folks, the farmers, you know, the backbone of America.
That's that's a story that would interest anybody who lives in our area, because our area is so farming centric, whether they're horse farms or corn or cattle or whatever. It's an important part of our economic factor. The final main story that I'd like to talk about is an interesting story that you have on Sarah Blodgett.
Yes. So I don't know if your listeners have noticed, or my readers, but March is our animal and farming issue. So everything is kind of tied into that. And so Christine, for her entrepreneur feature that she does every month, this month she focused on Sarah Blodgett, called In Focus. And she is a photographer and has kind of gone into wildlife photography. And you'll see three of her photos are included, and they're just spectacular. I mean, on the first page, on page 11, the flying owl, it kind of, you have to look twice and like, oh my goodness, look at that. But it's, for me, it was interesting just to learn about the business of being a photographer and what it takes, and especially to being, speaking of, you know, niches, you know, you think just being a photographer, oh, that's, you know, I do that. But then there are niches within that, and being a wildlife photographer is a specific niche that Sarah kind of gives us a glimpse into, and what it is to, you know, be, quote unquote, become someone in that, how to get the recognition and, you know, get some awards, or, you know, to be considered a great wildlife photographer.
Well, I think what's interesting is, and I've spoken to a couple different photographers over the past several years, and they all started out as commercial photographers. And I think being a commercial photographer, and then as you, like Sarah does, she's a commercial photographer, but she takes that expertise and then she goes out into photography and taking pictures of wildlife. I think it's the genesis and the way she switches from commercial to taking pictures of wildlife. I really think the commercial background, and I've spoken to other photographers about this, help them. First of all, I don't know if Sarah's one of the ones. They're happy to get away from the commercial and be out there doing that. Something still artistic, but also it's more meaningful than commercial photography.
Yeah, for sure. And she kind of touches upon that in the interview with Christine. And one of the things that kind of stuck out to me about it, because, you know, I've dabbled in photography and I've done, you know, what we consider the commercial photography. But to be sitting out there in the middle of woods or, you know, wherever it may be, being quiet and at one with nature and letting nature be itself to capture these moments, to capture these glimpses, you know, that it's a very different type. And so I enjoyed very much learning about, you know, her experience with that. And she seemed, you know, I think you have to like doing that, first of all, to be interested in it and then, you know, have the talent for it. But to understand that you have to be at one with the nature. You can't be interfering with it because then you're not getting the quote unquote natural shot, which is what these nature photographers like Sarah are trying to do. You want that original, you know, natural look and in your imagery because it needs to be true.
Well, you know, what's interesting about everybody now with the advent of iPhones and other phones, yes, and with the incredible improvement of the cameras, everybody takes a lot of pictures, and out of the thousands of pictures individuals take, they'll get a few really great ones unexpectedly. Here's the difference. Yes. A commercial photographer, when they or a photographer who's very experienced and they go out to shoot wildlife, you just mentioned it, they sit and they wait, and then the result that they get is every bit as amazing as just coming upon something foul for the first time and finding it. That's the dedication that they put into it.
For sure. And that's, you know, that's what I personally took away from the article was that. And because you know, when you look at National Geographic and these nature centered, you know, sources, you're in awe of the footage that is captured. And, you know, that's what it needs to be. You know, you have to, if you're in that, you have to be part of nature, but not obtrusive. You know, you can't, as Sarah said, I think it was at least Sarah who was saying, you know, you can't cut a branch to get your photo. You have to leave things as they are because that's nature and that's how their habit, you know, these animals' habitats are. And so you need to respect that. And you know, that's so true. And that kind of, that really resonated with me, at least as a reader, and gave me even a deeper appreciation for the work that's created.
We're speaking, of course, about Main Street Magazine. Main Street Magazine is available on Robinhood Radio. Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio, but also throughout the tri-state region and also on the web, mainstreetmag.com. And very quickly, because it worked with me, I felt like a fish that saw something hanging in the water and I went for it. Read this article about puppies. I went to the article about puppies, and surprise and surprise.
Ian is a funny guy. So he pitched me this idea because, as I mentioned earlier, March is our animal and farming issue. And he said, you need to help me with the image, and this needs to be the title. But you have to wait to put the actual image of the animal I'm talking about until page 2. So I said, okay. And he didn't tell me anymore. So I didn't get, you know, I didn't get a glimpse into it until I started reading the actual article, and he very quickly explains what he is writing about. And should we give it away?
No,
Michael,
no, absolutely not. No, because
okay,
because I think that people will click on it, and one of the first pictures you'll see will be cute puppies and stuff like that. But the article is totally not about that. And no, we're not going to give away the keys to the kingdom. People will have to click on it either on the web or else get the magazine and read the article in the magazine.
Well, flip to page 37 in the printed magazine and you're going to read, quote unquote, all about puppies.
All right. That is Main Street Magazine once again at mainstreetmag.com and also throughout the tri-state region at various locations. We are into the month of March already. Thorin, we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Marshall.